Then chapter 16, we're just going to do a few verses at a time. The seven bowls of God's wrath, if you're reading like the New King James or King James, it says the seven vials. So starting in verse 1, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, 'Go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God.' So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image." So what happened? Physical affliction of boils or sores were poured out on the people. They had boils or sores that took place, that were on their body. Who is affected? The worshipers of the beast who have received the mark of the beast. So it's a specific group of people. In this section, the word that's used for the sores is the same that was used in the Old Testament when it's translated into Greek for boils during the plagues on Egypt in Exodus chapter 9. So a very similar type of thing. They're painful. We see this happen to Job when he gets boils and he scrapes himself. So this is something we see numerous places throughout Scripture where this kind of affliction comes upon the people. So the only ones to escape this judgment are those who have refused to obey the edict of the beast. Remember, at this point in time, if you haven't taken the mark of the beast, you can't sell or trade or buy or purchase, or you can't engage in commerce of any kind, really, without that mark, whatever that's going to look like. So probably at this point in time, we're down to a smaller number of people. Remember, anybody that was still following the Lord, or that was following the Lord, they're being, especially in the first part of the book of Revelation, they've been martyred and killed and removed and executed, and now we're down to this smaller group of people that's left. When you look at, if you were to jump back to chapter 13, the indication is that the people that are left, a large percent of them, are going to worship the beast. They're going to receive the mark. And of course, especially if they don't want to follow the Lord, they've rejected the Lord, or they don't even believe that in God or a God, you're going to do what you have to do to provide for your family. And a lot of people are going to just, they're just going to follow just because it's easy. And it's a way to put food on the table, and it's a way to be engaged in commerce. Plus, we see that through the scripture that it's going to be a crazy time, and people are going to do what feels good. So that's the first bowl. We'll go kind of quick on most of these. One of the interesting parts about this is we have all seven of these laid out in this one chapter, but it's like one or two verses on most of them, and so there's not a ton of information to really expound and go deep on anything. Any real expanding we do on this, we're just putting into the scripture our own opinion. Because there's not a lot of information on these specific things. Some people will try to tie them to the trumpets or to the seals that were poured out earlier. But there's not enough information to say, well, those are the same. They're similar, but there's also differences. And so, kind of our rule of thumb is we take Scripture, we read it for what it is. The plain sense of Scripture makes sense. If we have to twist it and coerce it and make it fit what we want it to be, then we're probably missing something. So, if you're like, man, that's all the more you're going to say? Yep, that's all the more I'm going to say. Because there's just not a lot there to expand on it. So the second bowl, verse 3. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse. That's a picture. It became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea. So what was affected? The sea. It became as blood of a dead man, or blood of a corpse. And who was affected? All the living things in the sea. So again, if we go back to the Exodus and the book of Exodus, the plagues on Egypt, kind of a similar thing that we see happen when the Nile River turns to blood in the first plague on Egypt, and the fish all die. We see some similarities there. So which sea? There's a lot of seas. The Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Mediterranean Sea, the Indian Ocean. There's all these different... Now, majority of the time in Scripture, typically when the Scriptures are talking about the sea, a lot of times that's referring to the Mediterranean Sea, because that's right there around Israel. But we don't have any other... We have this one verse. We don't have any other indicators within this to really tell us. Is it all of the seas in the world? Is it just that sea? So, we just don't have a lot of information. The one thing we do know, if you've been to the ocean, the kelp and the seaweed and the dead critters, all the crabs that the seagulls have killed, it stinks. It smells. And so you can imagine blood and then all the dead animals. It's going to smell. Assuming there's still some sort of trade going on, how it might affect that in ships, especially if it's the Mediterranean Sea, that's a huge trade route. The fishing industry, done. So the world's already in a state of chaos, and then you add these things that just continue to intensify what's happening. The third bowl, verses 4 and 5. The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the water say, "Just as you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve." And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, the Lord God, the Almighty, true and just are your judgments." So we have a little more here. So the what, kind of almost a continuation of just what just took place. First the seas turned to blood. Now the rivers and springs of water turn to blood. Who is affected? Those that shed the blood of the saints and prophets. And we just talked about how, you know, earlier in the book of Revelation, we see that those that are serving the Lord are attacked and martyred. And those that have shed their blood are the ones that are going to be affected. So is this literal or figurative? We've seen water turn to blood in the Old Testament with Egypt. We've seen water turned into wine in the New Testament. So it's not an uncommon theme in Scripture for God to take water and turn it into blood, or take water and turn it into wine. So we've seen that take place in other places. So there's indication in other places in Scripture that would lead us to believe this is a literal thing that's going to take place. There's argument for it being a figurative thing that takes place. You know, we lean towards, and the Assemblies of God, we lean towards a literal interpretation. And so that's the direction we would go with this. But again, there's no way to really know because we don't have a ton of information. More important is the why. The blood of the saints and prophets has been shed. Many believers lost their lives. In Matthew 24, Jesus refers to this as the time of trouble like no other. There will be no other time in history that has experienced the amount of persecution on the church that this time period will face. And then God is sovereign. It says He is the Holy One who is and who was. Referring to the eternal person of God. He was and He is. And even in the midst of crazy times, even in the midst of the chaos of our own lives or the trials or triumphs that might come into our own lives that we experience, God is still sovereign. He's still on the throne. We can still trust Him. We can laugh with Him, cry with Him, whatever it might be. In the end, God wants us, and when we're looking at these things, you go, man, God's pouring out His wrath. And we don't see these kinds of things in today's world, I don't feel like. We see consequences to the things that we do and to life. There's been things throughout history, even recent history, where people go, well, that was a judgment from God. Maybe, or maybe it was just the culmination of a lot of bad decisions. And so, which one is it? The end result is God wants to draw us into relationship with Him. He wants us to know that He loves us and He wants to be engaged in relationship with us. And sometimes as we make decisions and we move ourselves further from God, if you will, even though God doesn't actually move, we just feel separated from Him. I just had a conversation with somebody that, they've made some bad decisions, and they landed themselves back in the Graybar Hotel prison. And he... I'm able to email back and forth with these guys, and he's, he said, I just getting the email, there's tears in my eyes, and I know I've made these mistakes, and I messed up, and I did these things wrong, and, I try to encourage him that when we make these mistakes, there's God is bringing opportunity for us to correct our actions. To make better decisions, to bring better people into our circle that are going to help us move in a positive direction. If you have trouble with drugs, you probably shouldn't hang out with the drug dealer. Because they all like their favorite customer, especially if you're a paying customer. And we can make decisions that bring us or keep us in that relationship with the Lord. And that's what God wants to do. But the people here, we're going to see in a moment, they resist. Their heart is hard. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody, and it doesn't matter what you say, they are going to be right. And it's a nice day. The sky's kind of blue. Or it looks, they go, well, there's some wispy clouds up there. Okay. Can't even have a sunny day. In this set of passages, the why is made known by an angel, one that is in charge of the waters, it says, which is kind of an interesting thing. It says, and I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, and I went through a handful of commentaries studying for this, and it was interesting because every single one, this is kind of what they focused on. And basically, the book of Revelation has a lot of references to, we have the angels with the bowls, we have the angels with the seals and the trumpets, and we have the angels around the altar, and we have the all these different references through the book of Revelation. And now all of a sudden we have this angel that's in charge of the waters. So this is, sometimes you learn a lot in a commentary. This is what they came up with. Apparently there's angels in charge of things in the physical world. I was like, wow, good job, guys. I could have done that without the degree. But it is an interesting reference. And we don't have any other information, so we can't say, well, what it means is he makes it rain, he makes it snow. We just know that there is an angel or angels in charge of the waters. So the spiritual world is real. They're actively involved, apparently. This guy is in charge of the waters. Your prayers matter. It engages the spiritual world. The fourth bowl, verse 8 and 9. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. I'm sorry that the scripture's not more uplifting today, but we gotta go through it. It was able to scorch people with fire. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. Okay. The what is, the sun was allowed to scorch people. The who? The men. And I say the men because if we had a literal translation of this, what it would actually say is, and it was given to him, the sun, to scorch the men with fire. And it's pointing back to these people that we've referred to in verses 2 and 5 and 6 that are impacted, or the ones that were worshiping the beast that received the mark of the beast. And so these people are the ones that are being affected. Now, if you know, there's books about the tribulation. You know, Tim LaHaye has the Left Behind series, and they've made movies about the tribulation and end times. And sometimes when you read those books or watch those movies, when these plagues and things are happening, they will show in those books and movies that the believers aren't impacted. The water is still fine for them. They don't experience the heat and things of that nature. And this is kind of where that they're getting that concept from, or that idea, is that the implication by these verses is that the ones that are did not receive the mark of the beast, the ones that have not begun to worship the beast, are not being impacted by these things. It's not laid out or spelled out, but that's the and it's a pretty common for commentators to take that stance on it. So, and then, you know, we talked about how God wants to draw us, and then in verse 9 we see that it says, these people, as these things are happening, they cursed the name of God who had power over the plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. This implies they know why these things are happening, or who's bringing these things to be. Now, you know the Antichrist is on the scene, and he's in full power, and he's using YouTube to its fullest potential, and he's letting everybody know, This is the God of the Hebrews that's doing this. I am the God of this world. I would never do this to you, or, you know, whatever is happening, you know, had a little. And so they are blaming God. They're cursing the name of God. And their hearts are so hard, they refuse to repent and give any glory to the name of God. They continue to resist him. now they're being burned by the sun. Intense heat, sunburns, you can't escape it. When we do summer camps here in Idaho, we go up to Cascade for the district summer camps. We'll get these guys from other parts of the country that'll come and they'll be the speaker, or they'll be running games and activities and different things. And I remember this one time we had this guy from Texas come, and he's a Texas boy. He's tough. And he's not worried about the sun. Texas is hot. Well, Texas is a much lower elevation than the mountains of Idaho. And there's something that takes place when you rise in elevation. And those guys, they come in, and man, within a few days, they are burnt. They don't want hugs or high fives because everything hurts. And you know, if you've had a good sunburn, it is uncomfortable. You can't sleep. Shirts are uncomfortable. And so whatever is taking place in this phenomena is uncomfortable. But there's a little respite from that, sort of, coming. The fifth angel, verse 10, the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. So if it was too hot for you, now it's not going to be. Its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. So what happened? They are plunged into darkness, and the people begin to gnaw on their tongues. And it's the same group of people. Although we do have a little bit more specific, it does say the where, there's a where, and it's directed at the throne of the beast, wherever that might be. There's speculation that the city of Babylon will be rebuilt. We know that's actually been attempted, during our lifetimes even. The city of Babylon will be rebuilt, and that will be the center of commerce. And it could be there, but wherever the throne of the beast is, this could be centered around that, wherever the Antichrist has established his kingdom. It takes place after the blistering heat. So, get it? Blistering heat? Because they got blisters from the heat? Come on. I worked hard on that.
Keep working around.
Yeah. So when the sun goes away, the temperature drops. So it's going to cool off. One of the things we don't have in this is we don't have any reference to time. We don't know, when you read through it, it's not going to be, it sounds like it's going to be subsequent, one after the other, after the other. Mm-hmm. We don't know if we're talking weeks or days or there's no reference. So we don't have any reference to that. These guys are going to experience total darkness. One time we were traveling between Medford, Oregon, and here. We had visited some family, and we're in the middle of the desert between here and Medford, right? It's basically a kitty corner shop from corner of Oregon to corner of Oregon. And so, you kind of can see the stars here, but we had, all the kids were with us, so we pulled over, and I said, kids, jump out of the car. We're in the middle of, it had been a long time since we'd seen a town. And we'd gone over this hill, and there was a pull-off. So I pulled off and shut all the lights off in the car. And everybody got out and walked into the middle of the road. We went, off to the side.
That's good.
I do think on occasion. And so He said, kids, check it out. And you look up and there's so many stars. And it is beautiful. And then the car comes over the hill and you're blinded by the light and it goes away and your eyes adjust again. That's dark and it was beautiful. But this, I think, is going to be different than that.
No stars.
No stars. It's going dark. Now, we used to live up in Northeast Washington, and in this town we were pastoring in, they had these caves, and you could go into these caves, and it was way deep. And you would go down these stairs, and you would get way down there, and it was cold and damp, and they had all those stalactites. And don't touch anything, because you're going to ruin the world. And then you get way down there, and then somebody flips a switch, and it goes dark. And we're talking, I know I did that, but I can't tell that I waved my hand in front of my face because it is so dark, you cannot see anything. And it's a weird feeling. They only do it for like 15 or 20 seconds. And then the lights come back on. And that's dark. You know, the gnawing on your tongue is an actual condition that people can develop. And I read about the triggers for that: stress, anxiety. So it's not going to take very long of that kind of darkness. It doesn't matter if you know where the furniture in your house is. It's still going to be hard to find the restroom to navigate. You're going to walk into the other people in the house without even realizing it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take very long to be in that kind of darkness before your mind starts to play tricks on you and you start to get worried and scared. How are we going to get to the grocery store? How are we going to cook dinner? Do the lights do anything to the darkness? It doesn't tell us, but it says they're going to be engulfed in total darkness. What an experience. And there's so much in them, they begin to gnaw their tongues, it says. Now, everybody's bitten their tongue at some point or another in life. Mm-hmm. It is an uncomfortable thing. And then to just use your tongue like a piece of bubble gum? So it's going to be an interesting thing. I feel like, all these other ones we read through, and you can kind of try to imagine what maybe those things might be like, kind of. But I feel like this is one we can go, oh yeah, I've been in a cave, or I've been out in the middle of nowhere, and I kind of have an idea of what really dark is like. It's kind of a weird feeling. So all of these things are taking place. We're coming to the end of the tribulation time. These are the last. The next two, there's actually a. The next bowl is one of the most. It's probably got the most information on it of anything, because everybody has an opinion, and of course everybody's opinion is right to at least one person. And so there's just too much to go into the next two tonight, but we're kind of seeing all this stuff come to its peak, and then we're gonna begin to look at some of the final characters that have a role in all of these things before we cross the finish line and do the victory dance. There's a lot taking place, and how these things exactly will play out, we don't really know. It'll be interesting to, hopefully we're not here to see it, but it's going to be an interesting time. Does anybody have any questions? Not that there's a lot of clarification. We can bring on some of this, but we'll still take your questions. Any thoughts?
Well, like you said, that they don't. There's no time reference for any of this.
Nope.
So it could be years, or it could be.
Well, probably not years, because we know the tribulation. You know, based on Daniel, we know it's seven years. This is towards the end of that, probably after the 3.5 year mark, based on it sounds like through reading through the scripture, after the Antichrist has established himself. So we kind of know where we're at chronologically in things. So it's not going to take probably years, but it could be months and months and months, like, you know, up to a year, year and a half.
For each one of these, or just all together, do you think?
Well, it can't be years for each one, because that would be too many years. So it could be several months each. But the reality is, any one of those things, in my mind, if I'm having to endure these things, few days, few hours for some of them, a week, that's a lot. Darkness, total darkness, that's the one we can identify with the most. Yeah, it's not going to take very long for me to start chewing on my tongue. So in no commentary that I read, nobody, literally each commentary has like this much information. Nobody references anything about time, because there's you just have to make it up. There's no inference anywhere in those passages. So we would have to pull it from somewhere else. But
well, like, it doesn't give time, but we can't figure something out. Like the first one said the source, mm-hmm. the plague. You know, we can go back to the COVID.
Yeah.
How long did it take for the world to have COVID? So, you know, that could give us a time frame.
And the world's going to be much smaller at this point.
Yeah. And so,
two-thirds of the world's dead.
And so, you know, I find it hard to believe that, you know, God's just going to, boom, drop it and everybody's at the same time. I'm not saying he can't.
Right.
I believe that God works within the realm of the world, what he's given us. And a plague is a plague. It has to, you know, travel from person to person. And it has to start somewhere. And it has to go all the way around. So, yeah, you know, we can figure, you know, COVID took, what, about a month and a half or so?
Well, we were at the end of that, and we were about 3 months in by the time we hit Idaho.
So, you know, if that's any indication, you know, you can kind of figure the time frame out. Well, you know, if it's going to be a plague.
You can also go look at the plagues of Egypt.
Yeah.
And none of those things, you know, lasted extended periods. And they wouldn't need to. The purpose isn't to torture people forever. The purpose is for God to say, hey, look at me. You know, not to just torture people endlessly. The point is, look at me. And they go, just kept going, we don't want to look at you. We are mad at you. So, yeah.
I don't know if I got it right, but isn't this when people already got the mark of the beast?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why we know it's later in the tribulation period, yeah. Yep.
So that's when people are going to try to serve God still? Or
well, some will.
Can, yeah.
Or they're done.
No, there will still be people wanting to serve God, but
even if they have mark.
It's not if you have the mark. But it's going to be a tough time. Like you presumably, I mean, obviously we don't know how the perfect picture, but the way scripture says it is that you're going to have the mark of the beast, to buy and sell. So to get groceries, to sell your goods, whatever it might be. And so...
And the trumpets, the angel trumpets, and it starts these other plagues. Well, I don't know if it's the same plagues.
They're similar. They're similar.
But
there's a
so
lot of similarities.
Twice?
Yep. Yeah, it's good times, huh?
What's interesting in all this, how you referenced a little bit earlier about Exodus, some of the similarities in Exodus. In Exodus, it talks about all the plagues. Pharaoh had the opportunity to change his heart and into the hardened heart. And after all of those, there were several of them where it said very similar to the same thing, where if people had the option to change and worship or repent, but they were like, no, they curse God.
Yeah. And we see that today, you know.
Yeah,
sure. We like what we like. And you know, it's part of the reason we do fasting is because this body likes what it likes. Those cream puffs you had, that's my favorite dessert. Chocolate chip cookies and cream puffs, I mean, it depends on who's cooking. I'll break a fast. Right now. If you bring me a good cup of coffee and a cream puff, fasting's done. You know, this body wants what it wants.
Always do it tomorrow.
And we can always do it tomorrow. And, you know, and God just goes, man, I just want you to know I love you. I want you to know I want to be in a relationship with you. I want you to know I sent my son to die on a cross to forgive your sins so that we could be in relationship, that he died and he rose again on the third day. He was ascended to heaven so that his grace would pave the way for you to have a relationship with me. One of the coolest things that happened on that day that we never talk about, for whatever reason, is that if you look at the temple that they worshipped in, you know, there was the courtyard, and we'll do a study on it because it's really cool when you study it. But in the inner part or at the back, there was what they called the Holy of Holies, and it was separated by a curtain. The priest only went in there on occasion, once or twice a year. And when the priest went in there, they tied a rope to his ankle.
And put
bells on him so that they knew, oh, he's a goner. Then we can drag him back out. Because you don't want to go in there. But when Jesus died, that veil was torn. God said, come, have a relationship with me. I want to be at work in you. We look at these things and we get hung up on this idea, man, God is mean. No. If you come in here and you're hearing all these things I'm talking about, I'm reading the book. And I'm trying to explain it as best I can. Even the scholars are like, yeah, yep, that's what it said. It got dark. The point is, right now, God, in this point of revelation, God is like, Israel, my boy, come back. And they're like, have you seen and heard this guy talk? He is amazing. He uses a teleprompter, but it's still pretty awesome. Not alluding to anybody. And God's just like, oh my goodness. Like, do you really like sunburns? There's not enough aloe vera in the world to take care of that burning heat. All you gotta do is say, I'm sorry, Lord, I love you.
Sorry.
And they're like, we hate you. We know it's you. But we won't. You know, that guy comes up from Texas. Hat backwards. I don't need sunscreen. 2 days later, you wish you had sunscreen, don't you? Because we can do it. Come to my living room. My kids make fun of me. We got a hole in our ceiling. Because the bathroom upstairs leaked. They're like, are you ever going to fix that? I'm like, no, just wait for it to leak again. And now I don't have to take the ceiling apart again. It's already ready. But I'm like, just fix it. We can. I am gonna fix it. It's in the agenda for the year. Quit bugging me. It may be the second year. But I can do it myself. I don't need a handyman. I don't need to call a contractor because we are capable. We are the original DIYers. All the remodels we've done in this building, the only thing we hired out was the carpet and the paint. And the paint was just because he was super, super cheap and did it for way faster, and just buying the paint would have been, I mean, he just blessed us with a super good price. I think we got the inside and outside painter for like $2,500. Yeah, I mean, my knees and my back are valuable. I got a toilet to fix. So, when we look at these things, we can't walk away from here and go, God is mean. No, God is love, and he wants to draw you in. But he says, look, when you just keep walking away, we go back to the Old Testament, we look at what would happen in the book of Judges. The people would turn away, and God would go, hey, look, now you're going back into slavery. And then he would send them a judge, and he would lead them back, and they would do good for a while. Just like you and your diet and your New Year's resolution. Just come back. Stop eating the cream puffs. Save them for me. So, anyway. See, I was going to end early, and now I went on a rant. But that's what we have to remember in all of this. God loves you and wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants to work with you. He wants you in community like this so that we can be encouraged and uplifted and have great soup. So quickly, do we have any prayer requests? Is this the one that's been sick for a little bit?
No.
That's different. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so Louise.
And Maggie.
Okay, Maggie.
For me, for a place to open up for me, by the time I need to be out.
Yeah. Best tenant ever, and got a 90-day... time to move. So Barb's got to move. She's got to relocate within a 3-block radius, preferably.
Yes.
So she's got a place she'd really like to get to that looks amazing. She's got pretty good neighbors there. And so we just want to be in prayer that this whole thing opens up. She has till the end of March and she's got to move. And it kind of came out of the blue. I don't know if the landlord wants to sell or what, but moving's never fun.
Mm-mm.
But so we're just praying that God is going to open up a door for a great thing. Praying
I'm on the waiting list.
You're on the waiting list? So we just need you to go to the top.
Yes.
Okay.
No, we don't wish anybody to die.
No, we don't want bad things to happen to other people. We just want good things to happen to you. So we want to be praying for that. Is there any others?
Yeah. My stepbrother in California, he's in a rehab, but he has cirrhosis of the liver. And he's just been mostly sleeping. He doesn't want to eat. He had meningitis, and so he lost his hearing and stuff, and he had to wear those implants so he could hear. He got upset, threw them and broke them. And he's just going through a mess.
Okay.
His body's really just breaking down.
Okay.
Everything.
So.
His name is
Kevin.
What are we? I mean, that's a okay. We'll just be praying for him. And,
well, right. he doesn't know the Lord, and he's angry. We don't know. He won't open his eyes, and we don't know if that's from anger and just wanting to quit. But he is eating a little, but he's incontinent now, and he won't sit up or he can't sit up. And there's all these things, and we haven't heard from doctors yet exactly where he's at, but he mostly needs the Lord, and he's suffered with alcohol for many years, so he just needs the Lord.
Okay.
And then my grandson is in the hospital, the handicapped one, Jordan, and he has pneumonia really bad, the kind you throw up and you cough so much, and there's so much phlegm that you throw up and stuff, and you inhale it. I can't remember what it's called, but he's got that kind of...
Is your nephew?
No, my grandson.
Grandson, so young?
Yeah.
Any others?
Your brother Martin.
Oh yeah, Martin.
Got a new kidney.
Had a kidney transplant like a week ago.
Yeah, a week ago.
And so he's down in Utah for another several weeks recovering.
Three more weeks.
Okay.
My neighbor, her sister lives in Denver. And she's ended up in the hospital. They go, oh, what's wrong with her? She can't eat or drink. She is a Christian. But I told her I would ask prayer for her sister.
Okay.
First of all, I would like to thank the Lord for renewing my strength.
Amen.
And I would like to thank all my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus for your prayers, because your prayers have helped me, and now I'm so grateful.
It was a long
I'm
road.
So grateful because I know the Lord is with me. And next week I'll be having some tests done for my pre-op. You know, I'll be having surgery the 3rd of February. And I'm thankful for all of you. You're so wonderful, so precious. You're precious jewels. Thank you all. God bless.
All right, well, it's 8 o'clock. Let me pray for you, because I tell you I'm going to have you out of here by 8 o'clock. And I don't want to lie, especially in church. Lord, we bring all these requests. You heard them as they were mentioned. And Lord, we just ask for all of these things, those with physical needs, that you would speak to those situations. Lord, that you would meet each and every need that was presented. Lord, those needs that were kept silent, but ran through our minds, we pray you would speak to those. Lord, housing needs, we just pray for supernatural miracles to take place. And Lord, those that we know that are hurting, we pray you would give us wisdom, know when to say something and when to stay quiet and just be present. We thank you for all the great things you're doing in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, we will see you next week. Same time, same place. Don't forget to talk to me because you want to help. I know you want to help. Cook. Cooking. Men, breakfast Saturday at 9.